construction, golf news, equipment, travel, interviews, course profiles, and more. Your weekly fix of all things golf is about to begin. It's the Flagstick Podcast with your hosts, Jeff Bonner and Scott McLeod. Welcome, everybody, to the Flagstick Podcast, episode 74. First time I ever said that. Presented this week by Golf PEI. Golf Presented Rhode Island is Canadian golf destination, boasting the most number of golf courses per capita in the country, with over 400 fairways, closer than you can imagine, top-tier accommodations, exquisite culinary experiences. It is the easiest golf vacation you will ever book. Book those golf vacations at golfpei.ca. I think everybody is checking us out on social media, but if you're not,
it's been make sure that you are. Days.
Instagram, X, TikTok, Facebook. Please subscribe on Spotify, Audible, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And we really encourage you to subscribe on YouTube to our channel. Like us, click the notification bell. Make sure that you never miss a single episode.
Yeah, that social media side is getting a little ramped up, a little heated.
A little
with
heated.
The golf season showing up.
It's pretty impressive.
Oh, it's awesome. God. It's crazy.
It's awesome. Like, as you can see, if you're watching,
yes,
which we've discovered that most people listen, but there are those that watch. So for those that are watching, there's a big glare on the side of my head, and it comes and goes. That's because of the sun that's shining is coming white. Through. I know, but it went with the blue, the
I
royal,
know. No, it
the
looks
royal
good.
Blue
looks good.
With the
looks
the,
sharp. I like it.
I'm not flexing. I'm showing you the logo. You're right. It's going to be one of those. It's going to be one of those episodes. Mark it. Episode 74 is officially going to be one of those episodes. For whatever reason, I have literally no idea what day it is. Let's recap. As we get into the small talk here, before we get to our front nine stuff, let's recap. I sent the newsletter out for Wednesday. I sent it. I didn't send it. So I just sent it this morning, but I didn't send it this morning thinking I didn't send it yesterday. I sent it this morning thinking that today was tomorrow. So let's recap once again. I sent yesterday's newsletter, yesterday's newsletter, which was Wednesday.
Right.
I sent it this morning, which is Thursday. But I didn't send it thinking I'd forgotten to send it yesterday. I sent it thinking that today was tomorrow, which would be Friday.
And now I'm thoroughly confused.
And now the Friday one is going to come out Saturday morning because I don't like to send them back to back.
How about those dates on the certain poster?
Oh, yeah. And the Flagstick shootout, I did up all new creative, and I'm outstanding at creative, but I put Friday, Saturday as the dates for the tournament, July 12th and 13th, which of course is incorrect. This error was spotted by one Mr. McLeod's wife, Michelle, while they were, I think you were in somewhere having Belleville, having dinner or whatever.
Yeah, anyway. Dropping off a child that's heading off to someplace warm.
So I had the dates wrong. So Scott, in a massive panic, messages me and I say, Scott, stay calm, okay? This isn't really a big deal. Well, I'll get this sorted out. And I changed the dates, reset all the ads on the website, sent all the new social stuff over to Scott. And as you can see from me sending out tomorrow's newsletter today, but it was yesterday's, that the ad for the Flagstick shootout has got the right dates on it.
Oh, man.
Does anybody understand any of what I just said?
I don't know, but I hope the rest of the podcast is not as confusing.
Hang on, coffee.
You're going to need the coffee for sure. I mean, welcome, everyone.
Welcome, yeah. I can't wait for the mid-podcast break where I can reload this coffee because this one's not only cold, but it's apparently ineffective.
You're going to need some more caffeine. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we're coming off. I guess we're going to get to a few things here, but the weather is buzzing and so are some other things. And, you know, even though it's calmed down a little bit, it didn't stop the onslaught of emails, texts, DMs. Like my phone was blowing up.
Blowing.
And our calendar is blowing up, which we'll get to.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Do you want to get to it? Okay. Well, actually, let's just say,
Why don't we let people know what's going on in the show?
Well, what's going on in the show is absolute mayhem and craziness, apparently. We're going to get you caught up, because that's what we like to do, especially in the front nine. We like to get you caught up. We're going to get you caught up on some news and hot topics. But on the back nine, we're going to talk about the changing face of golf and golfers, a topic kind of spurred on a little bit by this past weekend's Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo and some of the conversations that we had over the course of the 2 days last weekend. So we're going to talk about that, because some interesting stuff, and it's what we do. So let's get right at this front nine before things get a little crazier than they already are. Presented by Metcalf Golf Club, a natural setting, a pleasant challenge. Golf season is just around the corner, clearly. Don't wait to start preparing for this upcoming golf season. Get on the wait list for memberships and leagues, or purchase some game passes to start the season and save compared to regular green fees. Visit MetcalfGolf.com and shop now. All right. Let's get
one,
to the front nine.
Have you recovered from the Ottawa Gatineau Golf
Expo? I've recovered fine. You know, my body is just freak. It's just a beat down mess lately. I don't understand, but I'm not even
You're talking to a guy who broke more bones on Sunday. So yeah, I get what you're saying.
You don't need but to
anyways,
watch where
that's
you're
just
put
being
your,
stupid.
You need to watch where you're walking.
I do.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
So yeah, no, I've recovered. I've recovered fine. It wasn't terrible.
It was a busy two days.
So, you know, since we're on this topic and it's in our list of things to talk about, let's talk about the Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo. A little bit different for us this year. Normally, and I won't say normally, but going back way back in the days, the
They're
purpose of the Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo for us has always been, you know, we try to get the new issue of the print magazine in the hands of as many people as we possibly can that come through the door of the show and throughout the weekend. It's always been the goal. So obviously the goal then is to make sure that our booth presence is up front and center, where we can hit everybody as they come in and go out. Over the years, obviously that's changed now that we do not have a print magazine to pass out at the doors of the show anymore. Our reason for being there is a little different. We always appreciate the conversations that we have mm-hmm. with people, but those conversations now become the focal point of our presence at the show. Taking the time to talk to people as they're walking by about whatever their golf problems are, or our own. Showcasing this podcast, which is a huge part of what we do now. And just being in the heart of the show. So we asked the organizers, don't put us at the front in a premium position up front. Put us in the meat, put us in the heart of the show, where all the action is, where, you know, where there's crossings of people walking by, and we just want to see as many people as we possibly can. It doesn't really matter how many people were at the show this past weekend. Doesn't matter if it was 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, doesn't matter. I could care less how many people were there. It's about the number of people that we were able to have conversations with. And we had conversations with a lot of people this past weekend.
My voice was a little, well, it's still a little raw. Yeah. You can hear it. Oh, it's a little raspy. So
raspy.
You know what the thing was, we were next to the Canadian Pro Shop Online, their performance center, which is the demo range, and then our other neighbor was the President's Cup. So not too bad as far as that spot. We did have a giveaway, you know, some great item. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Let's do that in the back nine. Let's do that nine, you think?
So, but I mean, that giveaway obviously attracted a lot of people to the booth. You know, golf bag, wedge, putter.
Old school giveaway.
Yeah, but a lot of people filling out ballots, a lot of conversations. You know, I think we fitted some clubs, fixed a few backswings, all sorts of different things going on at the booth. But yeah, I mean, just overall, you know, it was great to see a lot of faces, and it was also interesting to educate people a little bit more about the properties that we have and the ways that we communicate now, be it this podcast, website, social media, so forth. and leading to, you know, some discussions that will head into what we're going to talk about on the back nine. But it's just a great barometer to get a feel for what the golf community is about. It's a good way for us to, you know, chat with a bunch of other people in the industry, just to catch up with them, see how their winter was, see what they're planning for the year to come in. But I always think of us as being sort of the glue a little bit there, because, you know, a lot of people will go to individual golf courses, but we seem to be the ones sometimes where people come to us and go, "Hey, I'm thinking about joining a club. I'm thinking about joining in this area. This is where I live in. Here's my options. Have you played these golf courses before? How would this fit for me?" Not saying whether one is better than the other. It's more on just saying what's a better fit for that person. So, I mean, I think the lesson there a little bit was, even for, you know, marketing partners, is that, you know, we are a filter. And while they can talk to people directly, you know, their own newsletters and things like that, people want another filter, which, you know, tends to be journalists like us, longtime journalists, and they seek out our advice. And I mean, some of the advice that people ask for can be wild sometimes, but you know, we're happy to help where we can.
Well, I think the thing to remember about us is that, you know, we're going on, you know, this was started in 1996, this whole thing, and even started a little bit before that. But the first official issue of the magazine that was produced in print was produced in May of 1996. As you can see behind me with the quick question mark if you're watching. So these are the numbers of years that we have been circulating and been involved in golf in the same region. Now, our region's expanded a little bit over the years to encompass some other areas, but the primary area that we look after is right here in the National Capital Region. And we are very, very connected to what's going on. And I guess that's the point, is that, you know, we see every golf course multiple times throughout the year. We talk to more golf course owners in a year than I think most people would talk to in a lifetime.
Sometimes in a day, it seems like.
Yeah, so, you know, we provide advice, albeit not all the advice that we provide to people is maybe the right advice for them. Maybe it is the right advice. It's our opinion. It's based on knowledge. It's based on fact. And sometimes it's based on opinion. And people do look to us for, I mean, you can tell by the numbers of emails and direct messages that we get on social media, and even non-direct messages on social media where people are asking questions. We have golf course operators ask us about hiring, you know, people when they're looking at hiring new people, particularly, you know, the, you know, pros, and they ask us what we think of people. And, you know, albeit we're not sitting here, you know, slamming a golf course to a potential member,
Oh,
or
no. That's
slamming
not
a
really the
pro
case.
to a potential hire. We
No,
are
that's not the
being
case.
honest about our opinion about some of the things and what they can expect or not expect. So, you're right. We can be considered a, you know, a filter, you know, a conduit, and that's what we've been for, God, I'm trying to calculate the number of years. What is it?
28.
28
We're on 28, year
years.
29, year 29. So it's the same length as that golf show. How did you think the buzz was at the show this year
I
compared to
thought it was
past?
good. I mean, I honestly, I thought, you know, I mean, seminars, trying to gauge off seminars are tough because they depend a lot on the time of day. You know,
Time of day, content.
the show is busier during certain times of the day because of how much time one would have to spend once they show up. If it's lunchtime, if it's dinner time, if it's, you know, we've avoided the church time by not doing the Sunday morning thing, which was basically nobody would show up until after lunch anyway. So I think they've got it kind of figured out. And I think the seminars, I thought the seminars and the discussions on the stage, I thought they were all very good. And a good mix of topics and a good mix of guests. And just at time, you know, sometimes the timing of a stage presentation is just not the right time of day. And that hurts the content of what's on the stage a little bit, but I still thought they were all pretty good. As far as the overall buzz goes, I thought the buzz was good. I mean, it seemed pretty busy most of the
different
time.
Different crowd both days. We talked a little
oh,
bit
yeah,
about
very
that.
Different.
Obviously had the kind of the retiree crowd on Fridays. You know, a lot of other people were working. And then come Saturday, we had families, young guys that were there, the 25 to 35 year olds. But it definitely had a little bit different feel to it. But I mean, they were busy both days. You know, you mentioned the seminars. I was lucky enough to be up on stage for a couple hours each day. And, you know, you're right. If you have the first one in the morning and the one at the end of the day, those are kind of the death knell.
Yeah.
I mean, people are, you know, trying to get their last minute stuff in, or when they come in, they're trying to get to the bargains right away. And in the, you know, the equipment stuff, or whatever, they're not quite ready to sit down. Whereas you get towards the middle of the day when they're like, eh, you know what, let me take a break here and let me take a load off and, you know, put my butt on the chair a little bit. But I did notice a lot too, the seminars, you couldn't really gauge so much by the chairs that were in front of the stage. People are like high school. They're afraid to go to the front.
Oh, yeah.
So what you see is there was a food area down the one side, a retail area down the other side, and then the one row that's in the back side. And there is as much or more people standing in those areas watching the seminars as there were people that were sitting down.
Yep.
So, but still fun to do, fun to be involved, and got to interview our good friend Curtis Barkley, and that was a fun time up on stage with him.
Yeah, no, it you know, and the instruction was solid. It was a good mix of people on the stage for instruction. Obviously, Derek McDonald from Royal Ottawa was up there with you, and Todd Kirstead, Jelena was up there, and Todd
Dave
was
Spiernick
up there doing his thing, and Dave and James Spiernick was up there. It's just a good mix of different people up there giving seminars and presentations. So, no, I thought it was good. I thought the traffic was pretty decent. I mean, obviously, any trade show is going to have a time during the day where, you know, it's going to be a little bit Deadsville in there, you know, whether it's really early. Really early was usually pretty good both days. And you had lunchtime and you had dinner time. And there were these little pockets of a half an hour, maybe that seemed a little slower than other times. And then all of a sudden you get
this influx
of people coming.
You just never know where those people are at that particular time.
No.
I think one of the best gauges was, I was talking to Josh Haywood from Haywood Golf, who, you know, was at the show for the first time out from Vancouver, a young equipment company. And, you know, he was comparing it to the Chicago Golf Show, which is a busier, obviously a bigger show. But, you know, they had whatever number down there within 3 days. And he said, in some senses, it felt busier. Just again, like you said, it's not about the overall number. It's about how many people you can get to and you can talk to, that really adds the value. And as long as you have enough people that, you know, your time is being filled by talking to people all the time, you can only talk to so many, but overall, it was good. It was good to see people. Good to be back for that 28th, 29th, whatever show. And, you know, we had a couple of stalls in between for the pandemic, but otherwise, yeah, it was nice to be back live and see a lot of faces and see some faces that we haven't seen in decades in some cases.
So, I know, it's kind of crazy. Now, as we, the Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo is kind of the springboard to the season.
Sure.
And of course, that kicks off the influx of content that gets filled into the course openings calendar.
Usually there's a gap.
I know, it's like
not this year.
So the course openings calendar we've had for quite some time, but recent years it really has taken on a life of its own.
It's
really has become probably at this point, you know, as far as we watching website traffic, I gotta be very cautious and very careful of what I'm doing on the back end to ensure that we stay up.
Yeah.
You know, because the site can potentially, and I think it did last year, the site can potentially crash because of the bandwidth use, the usage. And so far so good. Knock on wood. Everything's good. I've got things, I'm monitoring things very closely on the back end of things to make sure that we don't overload the site. But man, oh man, oh man, it's filling up fast.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that, you know, we had this surge of super warm weather, which, you know, got a lot of people thinking, oh, courses should be open, you know, in minutes. Well, that doesn't necessarily happen that way. We know from talking a lot of golf courses, we will see some earlier dates from them, but, you know, they're not going to be as early as sometimes people hope, whether that's staff, agronomy, Lots of different reasons why they wouldn't open right away. We do have some golf courses that are open right away, more with the ranges. We're even seeing a couple ranges at some courses open just for the weekend. But you know, we have some of those on that calendar as well. And I'm busy monitoring all over the place as far as social media and so forth. So for golf courses, if you're a GM, pro, somebody who's authorized, an owner authorized to, you know, give us information or whatever, reach out directly, scotmac@flagstick.com. It just makes it easier. We're monitoring, you know, 160 plus golf courses, ranges and so forth. And believe me, this calendar is getting hammered. So I'd still love to see someone come forward if they were smart and jump on and be the title sponsor for the calendar, because you know, from
it's my job to find somebody.
I know, but from a traffic perspective, yeah, I mean, it's insane. And I mean, every time I go on there, it's nonstop. And thank you to everyone who's sharing it as well. I mean, that's really helpful for our community that people are sharing it with other golfers, and seeing what's up there. So, and thanks as well to anybody who's passed on information so far.
There you go. So I don't need to tell you, get over to flagstick.com and, find out which courses are opening when, or projected to open when. Okay. So in the world of golf news, the buzz is about many things. Most recently, well, I wouldn't say most recently is the announcement from international captain, President's Cup team captain, Mike Weir, announcing that no LIV players will be involved in the President's Cup this year. Now,
that happened Tuesday during a press conference. And really, it wasn't so much of him announcing it. He was asked the question.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, the first question would, you know, the first question obviously being put out there is, are we really surprised at that announcement? And I don't think if anybody's surprised by that announcement, then I'm surprised by them being surprised by it. The President's Cup is not like the Ryder Cup. The President's Cup is run by the PGA Tour. It's a PGA Tour special event. Yep. And therefore, the same rules would apply to this event that would apply to any PGA Tour event that is sanctioned by or run by the PGA Tour, which is unlike major championships. Because the next question is, well, how come LIV guys are allowed to play in the Masters and the PGA as well? Because the PGA Championship is run by the PGA of America, and the Masters is run by Augusta National, and the Open Championship is run by the RNA, and then...
Yeah, and I understand why people maybe... And the U.S. Open, obviously, by the USGA. I understand, you know, maybe people just don't understand the business side of it. So, you know, I'm not going to jump all over people because of this, but they should understand... You know, as you just mentioned, that, you know, President's Cup is a PGA Tour property. So that is why the case is going to be. Will it take away from it? Sure. There's some players we would love to see in there, but, you know, they've made their choice. So there's no sense in hemming and hawing about it. You know, we'll see the best team in Montreal that the internationals can put together. We'll see the best team that, you know, Team USA can put together, and they'll have a great competition.
I mean, well, and as luck would have it, for, you know, it being in Canada at Royal Montreal and the way things are with LIV right now, it's certainly going to afford the opportunity for probably a couple more Canadians from the PGA Tour to participate that maybe wouldn't otherwise participate. But we don't know that. We just know that there's a good chance that those players might have an opportunity to participate in the President's Cup partly as a result of this. So that's not a bad thing when it's being hosted in Canada, and they're not golfers either. It's not like we're allowing, you know, 150th ranked players a spot on the President's Cup team. These guys are in the top 20, 25. So, I mean, not a big deal. Not a big deal. We do know that hospitality sales are at an extremely high level for the President's Cup upcoming. And general ticket sales will begin on April the 11th.
Yeah. So we were lucky, as I said, at the golf show to have Ryan Hart, the executive director of the President's Cup, in the booth right next to us. So it was nice to have some conversations this week. And we'll have a lot more content related to the President's Cup coming going forward.
Perfect. Now, for those of you who love to watch TV as I do, and those of you who like to binge watch shows as I do, Their Full Swing season 2 is out this week. Netflix series Full Swing season 2 is out this week. The big question is, do you plan to watch? Have you already watched season 1? Do you plan to watch season 2? I personally definitely will watch season 2. There were parts of season 1 I didn't like, but a lot of season 1 that I did like, so I have no reason not to watch season 2. How about yourself?
I stayed up till almost 1 a.m. last night. I got 5 episodes in already, just because I was getting so many questions about it. I thought, oh boy, I better get some of it in there. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to say
Please
anything really
don't.
about it yet, because there's a lot of people that haven't, and I'd warn a lot of people on social media making a lot of comments that, that's the case. Not everybody's going to binge watch. Once you have watched it, maybe we'll have a big full discussion about that, like we did about season 1. But yeah. Like anything worth a watch. So I'm
The
looking
binge
forward to it.
watching begins tonight for me. So,
Okay, there you go. So
so
I'm
with
looking forward to
Survivor Night
watching it.
last night at the house for my wife, is very much sucked into Survivor and their 2 hour episodes right now, which kind of sucks. But
I was actually talking to somebody whose product ended up being featured during it, like one of the players was wearing it or whatever, and I
not
was having a
really.
conversation with them
Cool.
last night, and I saw a screen capture, and I saw something during one of the episodes or whatever. So, but it was interesting just to even chat with them. They were asking me about all the questions that I've gotten so far, what kind of questions I've gotten so far, and I'm not going to get into those because they would spoil kind of what things are happening here. But we'll talk about that more. But certainly plan to watch the rest of it.
Perfect. Recently, the HSBC World Women's World Championships was held in Singapore, and Brooke Henderson, she had the charge. She
She
had the
did.
charge, but to a just a little off the mark, finishes in a tie for third. It's a third top 10 in four starts this year. So for anybody that has been saying that Brooke is struggling.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
that
people,
looks like a real struggle to me.
that's a pretty bad take.
I wish everybody, I'm sure that everybody that played professional golf on the LPGA or the PGA wishes that their struggles involve
Yeah.
three top 10 finishes and four starts.
Yeah, and she's off this week. She's not playing in China. Savannah Gruhl and Maud-Emile LeBlanc are. Savannah Gruhl is actually 3 under after her first round. She's got a brother who's a top one of the top tennis table tennis players in Canada on the bag, which is actually kind of
Sweet.
interesting. Brooke will be back at the event in California where she won in 2021. And last mention of this, yeah, Hannah Green got the win, which is nice to see. I love Hannah. Got her fourth LPGA Tour win with Nate Blasco from Kingston on the bag. I talked to
Nate.
Nate just a few weeks ago. They were pretty excited to get things going. Hannah just got married, so congratulations to her and to Nate as well.
Nate, heck of a good golfer too.
He is.
Okay, before we jump into our break,
Jump. Dive,
I did it again.
jump,
I almost made it through an entire first. See, anyway,
put 5 bucks in the jar.
the previously mentioned flagstick.com shootout that I screwed up the date on the all the ads for that I have fixed is now fixed, up and running, and registration is open. So applications are being accepted into the Flagstick Shootout, which will be played July 13th and 14th at Smugglers Glen Golf Club, golf course. For those that have are not aware of it, I'm sure you are, but that particular event, we will you register for you apply. There's only 72 spots available. There are no handicap limits or flights or divisions. It's a straight up foot field event. And it's presented again this year by Cobra Puma Golf. We're very excited. I'm just in conversations right now with the team over there about what we're providing and so on, but we'll get to that. We will be accepting players in at, on the fly. So it's kind of like we don't take, 150 applications and then start picking out who the 72 are. We will be letting right now, I think there's, 8 or 10 registration. I just saw our old good buddy Ryan Sevigny just
Nice.
registered. So it'll be great to have him in the field, maybe. But we'll accept players in, you know, in you know, whether it's in initially be like maybe groups of 8 or 10,
sure,
and then 2, 3 here, 2 here, 1 there.
Yeah, it's a matter of just approval, make sure they're of a quality.
Yeah.
Generally, most of the golfers you'll see into this will kind of be 6 and under, sort of index wise.
Yeah.
A little bit better players still apply if you're
absolutely
if you're kind of over that.
We had higher handicappers playing it last year.
Yeah.
And they did as they expected they would. It was tough because we do, it's not an easy setup golf course, but it's not crazy either. Smugglers is hard
like
enough in
July.
Its own right. What's that?
And who knows what your game will look like.
Exactly.
By July,
you
right?
could be a 12 right now and a 6 by July. Who knows? You never
could
know.
Be.
You
Could
know,
be.
But even if
yeah.
you're not and you want to apply, it doesn't mean you're yeah. not going to get in. And yep. You just have to understand what you're getting yourself into if you do apply. That's really yep. what it comes down to. It's no different than anything else you do in your daily life. If you understand what you're getting yourself into before you walk out the door in the morning, you walk in to get your coffee, you know what you're getting yourself into. The lineup's going to be big. Well, you know what you're getting yourself into with the flagstick.com shootout. It's a tough golf course. It's a tough tournament, and there's no handicaps. So there's no safety net. you
nope.
shoot what you shoot.
You got
but you come out of it with a good amount of stuff and a absolutely yep. awesome weekend and a great
and
golf
defending
course.
Champion Connor Gaudette, who was an outstanding player in the OUA this past year, will be back to defend his title.
The defense has been set.
Yes.
All right, we're gonna get out of here.
We are.
When we come back, though, we're going to have a little chat about the new golfer. Who are they? How are they shaping the sport? Should be an interesting conversation on the back nine. So let's get out of here, take a break. You are listening and watching the Flagstick Podcast with Jeff Botter and Scott McLeod. Stay there, we'll be right back.
When you golf on Prince Edward Island, there are over 400 fairways closer than you can imagine. Not to mention countless miles of pristine beaches and a rich world-class culinary experience. So get here fast, then take it slow and play around on Island Time. Golf Prince Edward Island.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Flagstick Podcast with myself, Jeff Botter, and Scott McLeod. So after we get through our back nine, and before we close up the show, we're going to do a little draw.
Woo-hoo.
For those, you can hear this if you're listening. Multi.
I got to pull a steak out of that bag or what?
I wish, but there's a lot of ballots in there, and three very lucky people from the Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo are going to win some cool prizes, courtesy of us and our very good friends at Mint Green Group, which is Cleveland
Golf
and Cleveland, Srixon, Asics, Dunlop,
Nike.
Very, very good friends of ours. And we thank them for providing with some cool prizes to give away. And they provide us with quite a bit of cool stuff throughout the course of golf season to give away on this podcast and other things that we do. So thanks very much to those guys. For the good products and for the good equipment that's in my bag, because I do like it. Back nine. Let's get to the back nine, presented this week by Celtic Golf Center. Located only 20 minutes from Ottawa and Kempville, Celtic Golf Center is indoor golf at another level. Featuring 5 state-of-the-art TrackMan sims and 2 Unicore sims with GS Pro, Celtic Golf Center provides you with well over 10,000 golf course options, including many major courses that are coming up. Island greens, beautiful azaleas, play rounds with friends, practice in both full swing analysis, play golf games. Visit CelticGolfCenter.com to learn more, to book your tee times.
You got it.
And with both the spring major and the Players Championship approaching,
the 50th Players Championship.
I know, that's cool. That. 50th.
That's wild.
50th, it is wild. Because it seems like a lot more.
Does it?
It does.
Most
it
people
really
I talk
does.
To
just, I know
are
it hasn't
surprised
been
that it's at 50.
It hasn't been going on nearly as long as the other majors, but
yeah, of course.
But it just seems like it has to me anyway. Mm. It feels like it's a like a 100-year-old championship, but it's far from it.
50 is still pretty good.
50 is good.
That's pretty well established.
Very, very difficult golf course.
Fun golf course.
A fun golf course. Although I will still state for the record that my opinion of TPC Sawgrass, as much as I love the golf course, it really is 16, 17, and 18. So I'm.
Are you saying your opinion on TPC courses has soured over the years?
No. No, because I do like them. I played very well.
Know, Jeff had a very large affinity for TPC golf courses to the point of every time we were like planning out road trips, Jeff was like, "Oh, TPC, 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 TPC."
Yeah, and I have a flag. I have a flag, a bag tag, and
yeah,
from scorecards from every one that I've ever.
And that started to fizzle a little bit as we played a few of them that we realized maybe weren't so great. So.
Well,
we're lucky in Canada, one of the better ones is here.
And nothing like the ones there.
No.
And I hate to say some negative things about things because you don't want that to come back and bite you on later on where someone says, well, you know, TPC courses are never going to market with flagstick.com. Well, they're probably not anyway. So they're probably pretty safe to...
Your opinion probably should be... Safe. Yeah, your opinion should be... not related to
while they all have unique anyways. Properties there yeah. Are those that properties are not as unique and tend to be very cookie cutter
yeah and
that they're very know. Similar looking design styles to each of the courses not that your first hole looks like the first hole here and the first hole no, here no. But you can see the similarities in the courses in the design philosophies in the courses from course to course to course mm-hmm. TPC Toronto is completely different. Oh, yeah. That is a different animal in itself. It is crazy good three courses that they have there. Love them. Love all of them. Mm-hmm. And it's going to love the new clubhouse too.
Clubhouse is two it's of them amazing. Being built right now.
I love the yeah. fact that they've allowed us all in mm-hmm. during the construction phase of what's yeah. going on there. They very much because it very much is an open to the public situation there, right? So mm-hmm. it's not yeah. like TPC courses in the States, which are all closed to
for the most part,
closed yes. to the public, but for the most part, they're really, really, really hard to get onto and really, 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 really expensive to play some, if you do get yes. onto them. So, yeah. But yes, my affinity for TPC courses has fizzled out a fair bit, though there are still a couple on the TPC list that if I had the opportunity to actually play, I don't think I would sure. Turn them away.
Yeah, you're allowed to be curious about them or whatever, but just understand that just because it says TPC in the front of it doesn't mean it's everything yep. all that. So
don't make it awesome. Okay. That said, moving on. Discussion from the Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo, we're always trying to come up with some kind of twist, some kind of thing that we can discuss, particularly in the back nine of each podcast that is different, unique, interesting, you know, something that can really, you know, pull everybody into the conversation and make them feel like there's something that they, that is of interest to them. And this topic sort of came from the Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo discussing because there are so many people there that are rookies, mm-hmm. if you
yeah,
will.
Yeah, it's a continuity of things that we've been seeing, but you know it just sort of crystallized a little bit. You know, we had people that were coming by the booth, and again, as we said on the front nine, you know, just having conversations with these people and asking them about particular things. And what was interesting, you know, I mentioned on the show before, having students that have come that, you know, didn't play golf before COVID. It's the same for a lot of just general golfers. And on top of that as well, it's realizing that, you know, we started a publication that's 28 plus years ago. These are different golfers than before. These mm-hmm. these people are, it's a whole different generation of golfer. And even for people that own golf courses, run golf courses, they have to recognize that. And one of the things that we saw there is that, you know, we haven't had, or, you know, our last print publication was in 2020, you know, the very start of that year that one publication came out, you know, And now we see people that, you know, they know us from the website. They know us from social media. Yeah. They know us from the podcast. And we literally had a couple people mention to us that they weren't even aware that we were a print magazine previously, which, you know, all of a sudden at first that stabs at your heart.
But I know it feels like it feels like a massive insult.
It does. But then you understand where they're coming from. But that also shows where the golfer of today and the golfer of the future is coming from. Mm-hmm. It's a different golfer. So that means things have to change and adapt for those people in the industry. And it's recognizing that and not clinging to that past generation. And just as the people in the 60s and 70s wouldn't cling to the people in the 20s and 30s and what their thoughts were, yeah. We always have to be looking ahead more than anything. So I guess the discussions that come from that is, what are the impacts of that? What changes there? And what are all the different things that will, you know, affect how golf will look in the future? Thoughts?
Oh my gosh, this is
a big topic.
It is a big topic, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Is like we're at a bit of a crossroads here when it comes to what we do, because we're not so far past the print production that the current generation of golfers would never have seen it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so, yes. So we're only about 4 years into our fourth year without print. Mm-hmm. And sure. there are very few readers of, there are very few people that are avid Flagstick, listeners, viewers, you know, our audience members. That are 4 years old. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, but they're 4 years old in their golf life though.
Right. What I'm saying is that there's probably a good chance that there's still a lot of golfers out there that would have been very familiar with Flagstick print magazine, but the newer golfer that just kind of took up the game around COVID would have no idea that there was ever a print magazine, because they never, a lot of those people just started when COVID happened, because it was the only thing that you could do.
Yeah.
So they would have never seen a print magazine because one never existed for them. So, it's a crossroads situation, because we talked actually about at the Golf Expo with a lot of people that, and I mean, I'm not exaggerating this when I say that we talked to a lot of people. I know I did. I know you did, but yeah. A lot of people that miss.
I mean, there's probably a thousand. Magazine. They do, but when you recognize who those people are, they're mm-hmm. generally those people that were in the golf ecosystem previously, mm-hmm. and. A lot of the people that are coming into the golf ecosystem now don't have that history, right? So, you know, there's those ones that are in between that, you know, still as a junior golfer, they grew up and saw that. But, you know, when there's no context at all, when people are coming in and they have no preconceived notions of anything, you're as a business, not only for us, but golf courses and so forth, they're establishing themselves as something new, and they have to recognize that there's not that legacy there. And that's a struggle for everyone. And I was having a conversation with somebody from Golf Ontario, and that was a valid concern for them. And they mm-hmm. were looking at their programs and what they were offering, especially programs for like new golfers, the Try Golf programs and so forth. And while they can go and try to reach those people through traditional avenues, they have to find other ways to get to those golfers, because those golfers might not know the traditional ways. Mm-hmm. So again, it just becomes a whole new way to look at the business, to foster the interest in golf to those people that are new, to find even more new golfers to keep replacing them. And then also to find out what these golfers like and want and know, because they're not shaped by, you know, they might flip on Netflix and they see some golf thing and they're like, oh, what is that? You know, and that might be their first experience with something that's on there, or they're on YouTube, or, you know, you'll mention to them about anybody short of maybe Tiger Woods and Brooke Henderson. They have no idea. You mention a golfer and mm-hmm. you'll talk to them about a Ricky Fowler. They don't know who Ricky Fowler is. Some of them, it has no context for them. So we have to sort of ourselves put ourselves in their shoes and forget that just because of what we know doesn't mean they know that.
Well, and I think the thing you kind of touched on something there is that this new golfer, as they navigate the waters of being a new golfer, they're searching for the knowledge to help them better understand the game and what it's all about. So where are they looking for that knowledge? They're looking to the internet. They're mm-hmm. looking on social media. Sure, they're talking to their buddies that right golf, here. But yeah. This is it. I mean, maybe yep. they would have looked to a print magazine had one existed mm-hmm. for them, but it doesn't exist for them. And no. they're not going to go and pay $15 for a copy of Golf Digest or Golf Magazine to learn and understand. This is the generation that you're looking. They look for Google. Things online. They Google it. You know,
they Google it.
Google golf in the Ottawa area.
You don't Google yeah. a magazine.
No, you Google, and so you're going to find us when you Google us.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
We may not have all the perfect keywords and algorithms and metadata and all that to
Nobody
get
does.
The perfect search result, but you're going to find us. And when you yeah. find us, you're going to find the information that you need, that you're searching yeah. for, to understand golf, and particularly golf in this particular market. I mean, yeah, we're flagstick.com. We're, you know, all over the internet, with content to, you know, spans the globe, mm-hmm. but our primary focus of mm-hmm. A good chunk of what we do is focused right around Eastern Ontario, the Outaway region, and then how that relates well, to Canada, beyond, you know,
Canada at all, because I mean, there's no geographic barriers. I mean, no. I think people will recognize that when they see our content, which makes it valuable to our marketing partners, is that, you know, a lot of their content relates to Canada, to Ontario, to Ottawa, Gatineau. They will see a higher concentration of that than what they'll see in, you mm-hmm. know, any other type of publication. But, you know, we're also, it's about the style of our publication. It's about the style of our content. It's deeper. You know, we don't, yes, we'll cover some stuff as far as the tours and so forth, but the amateur golfer is more important. The club level golfer, this, you'll see that in our content. And those are the questions and the things that people start to get attracted to. Because frankly, you know, I think some of that media attention, even the stuff that you see, because the algorithm feeds you all the time of mm-hmm. seeing PGA Tour Lib, some of these new golfers, they don't care. They don't watch PGA Tour. They don't watch Lib. They look to other things to satisfy what they're looking for information and content. They're looking to solve their own problems, whether it's information about courses, whether it's information about how to make a golf swing, whether it's an information about where do I go for a tee time right now, as far as what courses are open and stuff like that. So the content and everything has to change. So the industry has to change. And mm-hmm. I think too much of the industry gets caught up into too many things. And while it's sexy to, you know, to talk about the tours and stuff all the time, people have to be very careful in the media industry to realize that these golfers, again, you know, don't have as much relevance to those people. And the people that might be looking at that stuff are an audience that's the past audience. It's not necessarily your future audience.
No, you're totally right. And I think that what we're doing now, as much as I'm like a lot of those people that were at the show that came up and asked about the print, I'd love to have a print magazine again.
Sure,
I'd love to have, you know, even one or two issues a year. And maybe that happens at some point. Maybe it doesn't. We don't know at this point. Lots of discussions about things and things like that. But the focus has to be on where we're going from here. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're doing, you know, the way that we're focusing our content attention on the website and how we, you know, derive our newsletter content from that, and this podcast and what we're doing here and how we're trying to grow this. I think a lot of people are gravitating to what we're doing now mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. the digital age that we're in. And I think that that's where our majority audience is going to come from, you know, in the future. It's not going to be, even if we did come back with a print magazine at some point or another, it's not going to be significant enough to change the landscape of how our audience consumes sure. the information. That's yeah. going to be a completely different thing for a completely different audience.
We all have nostalgia for certain things, and I'm not saying the print industry is dead, but you know, it serves its purpose for certain things as far as the forms of the stories and things that are there. you know, different people seek different content and consume it in different ways. But where the lesson here is for the golf courses. I mean, I know in particular, when we start to talk about the opening calendars and dates, and I go back and I beat this drum every single year, but, you know, I go back to websites right now and I see open for 2021 on websites. I go to Facebook pages that have had three updates in the last year. You know, people have to understand and recognize that, you know, while there was an influx of golfers in the last little while due to certain circumstances, you know, they're not necessarily always going to be here, and you need to market towards those next golfers. Mm-hmm. So don't come to us and say, hey, I'm cutting back on my marketing because I'm going to just do all social media. And then you have three Facebook posts in a year, and that's the amount of your social media. We can't find you on TikTok. We can't find you on YouTube. We can't find you on X. We can't find you on Instagram. You know, if you're not spending time and resources to do that, then you need to, you know, join up with somebody who is talking to those people and having those communities so you can drive that business and realize and understand those are the ones that's there. And no offense to the 70-year-old golfer who's on your doorstep right now, but 10 years from now, that person might not be there. So if you take care of that customer, they're still your valued customer, but you need to be paying attention to the people that are going to be your customers for the next 70 years.
And here's the thing. It annoys me, and I try very hard, and it's like you brought this up, so I'm going to run with it for a minute, but it's naive of me to expect every golf course and every golf business that we deal with within, particularly within our region, but, you know, wherever, to be an advertiser, to be a marketing partner. Mm-hmm. It's naive of me to expect every golf course or marketing partner that we've had to stay with us forever. You know, you'd love that. You'd love the fact that you feel like you've built the right marketing partnerships, that what you're doing together is good for both of you, and you can continue to do what you do, because obviously we can continue to do what we do because it's a business. We generate revenue, and we generate it from, you know, from our partnerships with our marketing partners. And that's the bottom line. When you sever that relationship with us, and your explanation is one that is, makes no sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's, oh, we're going to do this. So, you know, we're finding we're getting a lot of results off of just doing our Facebook advertising or our Google ads, or, you know, what we're doing with our social media. And as you said, the social media is relatively non-existent, and they think that they're doing a great job with their social media, but in reality, they're not. They just mm-hmm. see results from it. And they don't understand that they're not reaching as many people. But, you know, it's frustrating because, and I'll tell you why it's frustrating, because that's great that you're getting results from your social media. And ultimately, if you spend $1,000 on something, you want to see $1,000+ in return. What you're forgetting is that Facebook is not running the results of your tournament. Facebook is not talking about the work that you're doing on your golf course. Facebook is not talking about the plans that you have coming up for your facility. Facebook's not doing any of that. We are. Mm-hmm. And media outlets like us around mm-hmm. Canada and North America, media outlets like us are the ones that are doing the work. There's no AI for this. This is real people going and contacting you and going to your facility and taking pictures and writing articles and posting articles and using our social media outlets to, and if it sure sounds like yours. I'm a little bit bitter, I am a little bit bitter because you just don't get it that for 28 years,
the ones that do prosper.
Yeah.
That's the cool part.
They do.
I mean,
the extra benefits of that. Yes. They get the extra little tidbit of you know, posts attention. Here or sure. attention.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a small, I look at it as a small price to pay, because it's not like we're looking for donations, you know.
No, not at all.
We'll take them, but we're not looking for them. we're looking for partners. If you spend money with a media outlet like Flagstick or like some of the other ones across the country, and you know,
yeah,
it's a partnership. If you're not getting that partnership, then I totally understand severing ties with that partner. If you're not getting that what you're, you know, getting more back than what you spend, and then I understand that. But I mean, almost 30 years we've been doing this, and we are all in.
I think in general media, it's, you know, you see it across the way. I mean, people sit there and, you know, they cry, you know, over the fact that, you know, they don't get attention for particular things, or there's nobody there to cover or stuff. Well, people have to realize that, you know, there's a cost to the businesses for the people that do that. This is not a charity to do that. You know, it takes money to do that. And again, you know, you've talked about it before. It's not like we're driving Lamborghinis around or whatever. But here's the case. We love golf. We love the golf community. You know, it's the same as a lot of other friends in the golf media and so forth. And we understand the marketing aspect of it. And while it's great that the outlets are available to people now, that everybody has social media and so forth, if you're not using it properly, it's not going to do you much benefit. And we saw even, look, we'll look at the Gatineau, you know, the Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo, for an example. You know, we're a media partner with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I could proudly say, there's a lot of people that we talk to all the time, and it's not always on public. We see lots of stuff with DMs and stuff like this. You know, there's reasons why there's a lot of those people shuffling through that door. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and yes, we might not be able to count the numbers with, you know, say it's this number and this number and this number. It's an influence on that. And it's reaching these golfers. It's these new golfers that we're talking to, because I'll tell you what happens for people. While people are, you know, new golfers and they come new to the game, they don't know what golf courses to go to. They don't even know the name of some of these golf courses. Mm-hmm. But in a Google search, because we have been so active for so long, they come upon us. They come upon our website. They come upon our social media. They reach out. They DM. Mm-hmm. We get emails, countless emails and stuff like that. We're filtering those to those people. Our indoor winter golf directory, I mean, the number of people that reached out over that were sending to the golf course, I will tell you, and I'm not bitter about it, but we had a couple people from different indoor facilities that reached out and said, thank you for doing that. But other ones probably didn't realize that, you know, we were putting people in their doors because of that. And we were taking mm-hmm. the time to do that. So there's where the benefit is for people. It's about supporting the entire golf community and making it better for everyone and yourselves.
Well, I think that the tunnel vision comes into play, and this is what happens. There was an old commercial way back when, and I forget exactly what it was, but they talked about, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. Well, the bigger the group of two friends, or the bigger group of friends that tells your story or shares your story, that adds to the number of eyeballs and impressions and that your story gets. So
yeah,
case in point, we'll take the Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo, the traffic that they had, the interest that they had, and so on. Okay. They did their own social media campaigns for it.
Yep.
But if that's where it ended, if they just posted it to their followers and nobody else shared it and nobody else reposted it and nobody else, you know, whatever, did anything, then it would have reached a good number of people, but not the number of people that it did reach. Yep. So then we repost it and we share it to our tens of thousands of followers. And then every exhibitor that's at the show also shares it and reposts it and so on. Now you see how the number of there may have been 1,000 people it was sent to initially, mm-hmm. or 2,000 people that it reached initially, but at the end of the day,
by
the
time 17,000 and 17,000 on X.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, by the time it's all said and done, when everybody has shared that one post, you're now talking about hundreds of thousands of people potentially that it reached. Not because you did something right. Mm-mm. All you did was post it, but you think that, and this is the some of the golf course mentality that we have right now, is that from a social media standpoint, is they their social media guy posts something and they get all kinds of traction from all kinds of results from it, but they don't realize that where the majority of the eyeballs that they had on it came from the number of people that shared it or reposted what they sent out. It's not your organic list that's doing it. It's, you know. And if you think that stuff's coming for free forever,
no,
you got another thing coming, you know? We're not just going to share everybody, every non-marketing partner. We're not just going to share and repost everything that you post to gain business for yourself without you spending any money. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Look, stories are stories. Editorial is a totally different story. I'm having a discussion right now with a UBC golf coach. And, you
two
know,
different
it's a
things,
story,
editorial and, cool. and advertising.
Two different things. But people have to understand that, you know, you can't just reach out to us and say, hey, I've got a special that's on right now. Could you share that? You know what? That's marketing.
Yeah.
So here's our marketing rates. You can talk to Jeff. You can get on board and doing that thing. But anyways,
we're, and what happens to most of those?
Who knows?
They don't do anything with it. They get reached out to, and it's like, oh, I thought you guys could just, you know, share it with your, I can for a price. Like, I mean, I don't know how you think I have a roof over my head, but I don't pay for it with buttons.
So let's just say this, people, we are actively reaching the new golfer. So, you know, if you want to talk to us about those new golfers, how we're thinking about them all the time, how the game is changing. And I know some people in the industry are definitely worried and are thinking about that. You know, they're putting their thought caps on. We're not saying that, you know, people are not thinking about this within the golf industry. We have some great people within the golf industry, but we reach out. This is what we do every single day.
Okay.
Okay.
That was a good discussion. Got a little heated, got a little emotional. But that's to be expected if you understand how passionate Scott and I are about what we do and what we've been doing for 28 plus years. Now they're going into 29th season. You'll understand why it's so difficult to have this conversation without getting heated. Okay. You know what? Before we wrap up the show, I'm just digging into the big red bag and I'm going to pull out our first winner. And our first winner is
Is third prize or first prize?
This is third prize. So we're going to start with, what do you want to start with?
Wedge?
Let's start with the wedge. Okay, this is for Cleveland RTX
6
Zipcore wedge. We're pulling out a name, and we have a name right here, and it is, I guess we can mention names, right? But not email addresses.
Correct.
Okay. It is Daniel Turner. Daniel Turner. Congratulations, Daniel Turner.
Woo-hoo.
You have won, and I'm going to write right on the back of this RTX 6 wedge. I will contact you, Daniel Turner, via email to make sure that you are a righty. If you are not a righty, then I will see to it that we get this flipped to a lefty so that you can use it. Okay. Digging back into the bag, I'm just turning them around and stuff. Some people folded them weird, thinking that I'd actually grab some of these weird ones. I got to say, though, as I'm flipping around here, some of those weird folded ones are.
You can feel them.
I can feel them in my hand.
Yeah.
And I can't necessarily.
So this is for the bag?
This is for the bag. Okay. Right. Here's for the bag. We got.
This is a Zrixon carry bag.
Carry bag. Ultralight carry bag. Matt Martineau.
All right. Congratulations, Matt.
Congratulations, Matt. Claps all around. Golf clap. Matt. I'm going to write here Zrixon bag. Okay, Matt. And now for the Frontline Elite.
Ooh.
Putter. That's a great putter. I have one of these in my bag. Putter. I got to tell you right now.
Nice product.
Oh, look. It's a fancy folded one.
Somebody's
right.
They gotcha.
Okay. Now this one, they didn't write really clearly, so I'm putting it back in. No, I'm not gonna do that. I cannot read your last name very well, so I'm gonna say it is. It looks like Zach, Buzzwell. Buzzwell.
Congrats.
Not too sure of your email address here, Zach Buzzwell. So let's hope that
we'll try to run him down.
All right, we'll try to find you. So I'm just going to write here, Frontline Elite Putter. Okay, again, I will contact you, Zach, to make sure that you are.
Is that B-U-S?
W-E-L-L? It looks like B-U-Z in his email address, but.
Okay.
B-U-Z.
I've got
it's the last part. It says BELLAI.com. I don't know what that is.
All right.
I want to say it's like Belli, but I don't know. I don't want to give away the email address on here.
All right. No worries.
So there you go. There's our three.
Congratulations.
And congratulations to all our winners, Daniel Turner, Matt Martineau, and Zach Buswell. Thank you for attending the Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo. Thanks for coming by and filling out a ballot. Thanks, Zach, for the fancy folding. It was interesting. You proved the point of so many. You should be proud of yourself. And that's about it.
Just got another DM. What golf courses are open?
Go to flagstick.com. I think we might have an answer for that for you. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. I struggled through it, but I got through it. I do know that today is Thursday. I do know that this podcast is coming out later today or tomorrow. And I do know that if you get Flagstick Digest newsletter, you'll probably see it in your content on Saturday when I send out the newsletter that was supposed to go out tomorrow.
And news re next week, we might have a little bump just because of March break.
Right. Yes. A little bump because of March break. I'm so sorry.
Kids and all.
Yeah. I'm on the ice.
I'm picking up a kid from the airport. So.
Yeah. Okay. So
anyways,
there'll be a little bump.
Yeah.
We'll sort it out.
We'll be back. We'll see.
We'll be back. You know, it is March break. Okay. That's a wrap. That is a wrap. Thank you to all our sponsors, Metcalf Golf Club, Celtic Golf Center, and of course, our presenting sponsor this week, Golf PEI. Golf Prince Edward Island is a premier Canadian golf destination, boasting the most number of golf courses per capita in the country, with over 400 fairways closer than you think. Exquisite culinary experiences and top-tier accommodations. It is the easiest golf vacation you will ever book. Book those golf vacations at golfpei.ca. Hopefully you are enjoying what you're hearing and watching. Be sure to follow us across all the social media networks, Instagram, X, and Facebook. Subscribe on Spotify, Audible, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And do not forget to go to our YouTube channel. Subscribe, like us, and click the notification bell. Make sure that you never miss a single episode ever. And, of course, get over to flagstick.com for more amazing golf content delivered every single day. And to check out the current course openings calendar for 2024. You won't be disappointed in that, I guarantee. And if you want to sponsor that course calendar, you know, check me out. Email me, DM me, whatever you like, and I will be—I'll be waiting for your call. As always, we do appreciate you tuning in. But until next week, I am Jeff Botter.
I'm Scott McLeod.
Remember, always go for the stick.